And good evening, everyone. Welcome. 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com. And it is time now for Saints Sports Weekly. It's going to be a bi-weekly this year. Saints Sports every other week.
Sports bi-weekly.
So Jeff Bowman, Fred Smith, and it's going to be a little soccer night tonight. We've got Coach Scott Oliver in with us, along with a couple of his players, Alyssa Naso and Sarah DeWeese. And so we're going to get things started. Coach, you were AWOL when we did the coach's preview, but so now you're in the chat a little bit about it. And now, before that, we couldn't say you're Mr. 300, but now you're Mr. 301. So congratulations. Does that mean you're a great coach, or you're just getting older?
I just think that the administrators then never made a wise decision to let me go. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. I think greatness is always for other people to talk about. So that's for you guys to discuss and figure out.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Yeah.
I know the getting older part is true, though, right?
Yeah, it is. You've been around a while.
What, 25 years now?
Yeah, this is my 25th season. So
did Fred hire you?
Fred did hire me.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he's done a great job. Our women's soccer program has been one of the great programs at Siena. So one of the many things that's going to be sad is we say goodbye to Siena Heights is that level of not only good results, but of unbelievable young ladies that have come through our program. And we got two of them right here tonight.
Yeah. And that's what I said, you know, when they were asking me about it. You know, they count 300 wins, but I'd rather them count how many lives we've impacted positively, or I've lost track of how many have actually influenced us positive. I mean, we had 70-some people at our alumni game in August. I mean, we had people fly in from all over the country just for that last alumni game and things like that. And, you know, girls that didn't even play all 4 years. So I think, you know, our quote is Saints pride, and it can't really tell you what it is, but once you get it, you have it for life. I think that's really what the girls and the teams and programs have really developed that culture over the years. So been very thankful for that.
Well, that's one of the things that I really like about the show, you know, doing it the last few years is meeting so many people, and especially, you know, speaking with the current and also speaking with the past players, the alumni, and just the impact that Siena has had on their lives. And I think that's a really neat story, and that's one thing that we're definitely going to miss with Siena shutting down.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what drew me there as a player. That's what brought me back in as a coach. And you know, Fred hired me, but it really Aldo Zid that really put it out there for me to come back. And I don't know if he thought I was going to be a career coach when he was actually asking me to be the GA, but and what they really saw in me, but it's all worked out for the better. So it's really those two guys have kind of got me started and pioneered what we were doing. But Siena's always been about people, and I feel like that's what's going to really kind of hurt and miss, you know, in the county, in the city, you know, in the state even. But really those connections are so deep and so plentiful that it's going to be really hard to get through and over.
Yeah. Well, looking at, you know, this year's roster, you know, I do see, you know, a few freshmen on it. So obviously you had some girls that decided they wanted to, you know, do this year. And was that a hard thing to, you know, did you lose some of them, or, you know, how did that work out for you?
Yeah, we lost about half. We lost about half overall. So the only class that really stayed strong were the seniors, obviously with them finishing. But we were supposed to have 48, I believe, and we're down to 26. We were supposed to have 16 freshmen, and we have 7. So we really lost about half. Some just found other opportunities right off the bat. Really a lot of what we lost were our nurses. And because the way those programs are structured at other schools, they really just kind of, they had to go.
To get in.
Yeah. And so they had to take those opportunities when they did. But yeah, we've got everywhere. We've got one girl that's playing up at Central. We've got girls at Walsh. We have a couple at St. Francis, Indiana. And some others that have opportunities elsewhere, but I think they're going to just go to school and finish out that way as well.
Yeah, that's a tough thing, and I know, you know, we talked a little bit before, you know, with you, even, you know, the girls trying to figure out what they're going to do, and, you know, you and your coaching staff and everybody else on campus is trying to navigate this and then see where you end up, you know, your next chapter.
Yeah. Yeah, they say, you know, put your faith in the Lord and it will. And that's really kind of what we're doing. I think individually, I think all of us are, and we know we've got a chance to be pretty special this year and trying to put that in and get that done. And the really weird part is for everybody that's in our program right now, we've never coached with less than 30 in.
Yeah, it must
since
be.
Since like 2015. It's been over a decade since I've had to go like, okay, we're going to do this drill and I need 8 of them. And today we did a drill and I was like, oh, we only need like 2. We need 3. Like, so it's kind of crazy in those aspects. But
well, and the other thing that's got to be different for you too is, you know, you're not having to worry about, you know, recruiting and all that. I mean, you've got a different mindset probably of figuring out what these girls are going to do and maybe how to help them get to that next level. Instead of going out and recruiting new people, you're making sure that your team has a place to go.
Yeah, and that, you know, we've not really started that part with the girls yet because the way the recruiting stuff, like the, you know, the portal everybody talks about really doesn't open until, you know, November, December. So they're still got a couple months just to focus on this school and this season. So we're blessed with that. And then my focus will switch into that. But I'm not sure they like it that, you know, I don't have to recruit right now and I don't have to fundraise. So really all my focus is on what the team's doing. And my focus is usually on the team, but now it's more video, more tactics for me.
Huh?
Like, yeah. And so I'm really trying to calm down a little bit and keep it in perspective of what we need to do. So not overanalyze things. But we do also have a giant homecoming weekend coming up with the Hall of Fame and that we were going to have to plan for that I'm in part of. So that's been taking up the majority of our time right now.
So you have a game that homecoming weekend. Are you home?
We do. We play the 4th on so it's October 4th at 7. We play Indiana Tech.
Okay. So it's a full day of is a full day of sports that day?
Yeah.
Yeah, football's it's going to be a heck noon. Of a weekend.
Yeah, football's at noon, men's soccer's at 4, women's soccer's at 7. The Hall of Fame banquet is actually on October 3rd, so Friday night at 6. I think we have 23 women's soccer players, 7 teams going in. So that's just soccer. We have football going in as well, men's soccer.
That's
going
to be a long
women's
night.
Women's volleyball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be, you know, it'll be done differently, so it won't be,
yeah.
You know, we can't, you know, spend the individual time we'd love to on everybody. Yep. You just can't do that. But, you know, this is something that we've all been working on, and it's tough, you know, but it's good. And we play volleyball at 2 o'clock that day.
Correct.
Too. So it'll be quite a weekend for sure. And
then the golf outing on Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And
And I think all those are when you're talking about like people and what the programs have meant, like that's what that weekend's going to be emotional wreck.
Right.
I almost want to wear a voice recorder over the whole time because, you know, I'm like Fred. I have some antics. I've done some things that you're maybe not so proud of or whatever, been pretty funny at this point. So, you know, I'm sure those will come back up over the weekend and that type of stuff, and it'll be good. And really, the honor of those people that really have made our program what they've had, and they don't have to wait 10 years now to kind of get out. So, and we've got some local kids that are going in, which will be, I think, even more special for Lenawee County.
Well, you talked about, you know, Coach Zid asking you to be a GA and not knowing whether this was going to be your career path. How did it end up being your career path, being going from the GA to doing this now 25 years later as the head coach?
Honestly, it was an opportunity just opened. Scott McClure left, who was our SID, and Fred knew I did basketball stats for my work studies. So he said, Scooter, we'll give you a little extra money if you can do stats. And then McClure left, and he must have liked the way I did stats that year. So then I kind of took over into that position, and they made it a full time because it was one head coach for both. And I can't imagine ever coaching two teams. And Aldo did a great job for so many years. But then they kind of moved it in there. So I kind of just fell into that role and that type of stuff, right?
Yeah. And the big thing was old models. You look back and go, how they do it. Well, that's how they, you know, the golf teams and the cross country teams, they were coached by really one person with the idea of help. And we realized that both programs brought in so many students that we need, and it was hard because it was hard for Coach Zid because he left probably the more successful program at the time, which is our women, though the men had some success too. But
Drew will tell you that, right?
What's that?
Yeah. Drew will always tell you that.
Well, that's the Sam Skills era, yeah, the Andy Powers.
And we had some, at the late 90s, yeah. we had some good teams. But then when Coach came in, you know, he was a scientist, you know, by educational background. And he found his own niche as a coach rather quickly. And he had great pride. He was a hard worker. You know, it was no coincidence when you work as hard as he has, and he figured out how to empower young people. And the biggest thing is he built a strong culture, and that culture has carried this program. If you look at our overall consistency every year, well, it's a good night when you're here because you have outstanding young ladies. You're always competitive. And, you know, if you imagine 48 kids, you know, and he used that program as, you know, as a stepping stone for those young ladies too. I mean, it was, and it's got to be tough now. Like you said, it is interesting that I never coached a basketball team without having a JV team. You know, I couldn't even imagine only have 15 guys, you know, 12
right.
guys.
Yeah.
Well, and Fred mentions, you know, the science background and all that. Were you, early proponent of analytics and stuff because of your thought process?
Yeah, I just wish America had analytics for soccer. It's not, you know, really what's come in for soccer in the U.S. are the GPS tracking systems. So and that really can break stuff down. But then you get into the what I like is the science of running, and it's an endurance sport, so you kind of have to keep that in mind. So what's the recovery? I think the bigger side of what we do and why we've been successful is not necessarily that, but the mentality of how we're doing those type of things. And I don't think the girls know that stuff's planned out that well for them, or at least I have an idea of that looking forward on, you know, you have peaks and you have valleys and following all that science. And then we've really taken steps again this year with the mental side of stuff. We brought Alexis Donnelly back in, who's a certified mental health professional, and that's helped the girls as well. I think that's helped the girls dealing more with me. But I love every part of soccer. The tactics have changed greatly, especially in women's soccer from the time I started to where we're at now. And the tactics are changing even more now as the men's game has changed, and that's filtered over to the women now, playing out of the back more, moving right to left more. The women's game used to be like, put it behind the defense and who's got the best horses or who's going to win, you know, things like that. And, you know, Coach Zid never taught me that way, but that's the way soccer's always gone. And it's really ironic as I look back at that and I was like, man, Zid does not get enough credit. Like everything that I'm kind of doing tactically or have done, we did drills today that I did when I was a GA or when I was a player with him. Like the stuff that we're teaching and that is still pretty much the same. You just are, you know, putting different situations in and things like that, which has gotten better. But it's weird. Like, you know, you learned something 25 years ago or 30 years ago, and it's still relevant and executing today. But then, like, they could say the same thing for basketball, you know?
Right.
Do you play the post more? Do you, you know?
Well, you know, one thing about our kids, you know, when I say our kids, the Siena girls, women, sorry, they always played with great energy and great spirit. You know, that was the cool thing. I mean, they were always loud and had great crowds, and they just played harder. You know, sometimes I felt we were just tougher than other teams. And this is just me. I'm not a soccer expert by any means, to tell you, but that was my observation all the years when I supervised. Now, I haven't been much in the last 5 years since I retired, but it's no coincidence. There's not much has changed, and our kids were always tougher, and I thought a little more physical, and that what happened, Jeff, and is people wanted to beat us so bad there, and we went from one rival to another every 5 years, you know, it seemed like, and that made the games really competitive and good.
Yeah, it's actually come to a realization to me now that we're actually getting a little more than we typically would in the beginning of the year, because we are closing.
Yeah.
And so, like, you can hear the coaches talk before games or after games, and the teams are, you know, celebrating a little bit more and a little bit more into it than they typically have been. And I think we're, you know, because it is our last year, they want to, like, send us out on the wrong direction. And I feel like we're a younger group this year, too, so that's taken a little bit of getting adjusted to. But I kind of think, like, they've got a little extra motivation to play Siena Heights one last time. And, you know, yeah, if the Yankees were ending and you were like, this is their last season, last time you're going to play them, everybody's going to, well, they want to beat them anyway. It's going to be a little extra special mm-hmm. this year, you know?
Yeah. We're listening to Saint Sports Weekly with Jeff Bowman, Fred Smith, and we're talking with Coach Scooter Oliver with us. And one of the things that Fred talked about was, you know, being tougher and physical, and you talked about the way the game's changing some. Have you noticed, especially on the women's side of it, is there more physicality than there was years back?
Yeah, and the difference is, I don't know if it's more physical, they're just better. They're better athletically. They've been weight training now. They're eating a little bit better in high school, so they're coming to college. They're just more developed as a whole. You know, there still were the really good horses and things like that back in the day, but they're, you know, only a couple on a team. Now you've got teams that are just, I mean, like us, we've got a lot of physically fit girls. They're used to weightlifting. Weightlifting never used to be a thing. Really, you know, too much during season or after season, what they're eating, how they're treating their bodies. That's the science that's kind of moved into women's sports overall. And that's, I really think, the help of women's sports professionally at all those levels have really started to trickle down into those markets for the high schoolers and the clubs, things like that. There really have picked up in the last 10 years probably the coaching and development of female athletes as a whole in all levels has taken the biggest steps recently.
Well, one of the things that I've always noticed, and I don't think I've ever asked you this question before, is looking at your roster compared to the men's roster, is you don't have international players.
Yeah, we just went through a cycle. We had five at one time, and I loved them. I don't know. They just never happened. I don't know how to explain that. I think I've researched them and recruited those. They've just never come. The good women's international players are very technical, and the schools that have a higher financial aid budget seem to jump at those players right away. So then it just becomes, you know, just a different, you know, bidding war, and we never got into that. So, but we talked to them, we did it, and, you know, we went through that. It just never happened. So
Fred doesn't get, you know, you never had that South American recruiting budget to go down there. And
yeah, so like what, 1 year we had a girl from Germany, a girl from France, and twins from Brazil on the team, and that was one. So we had four, and I'm missing somebody, so somebody's going to yell at me. But, and that was great, and they're doing amazing things and, you know, stuff like that, and that was fun. But that worked out and made our team and program better. But
you've had such a strong recruiting connection to so many programs in the, what I'd say, the 100-mile-plus radius of Siena, that it wasn't like you've ever lacked for good women to come. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm not speaking about our men's program or anything like that. But, you know, and no offense, that's a tough adjustment. You know, I never had an international player. That'd be a tough adjustment.
Yeah. And I think the reason we have probably more Americans than not is I think once they come on campus and they meet our girls, they know the pride. They know all the stuff that you're talking about. And that's what you can ask them, why they came. I think that's what they feel. They know, and I think they feel it. It's not something that you're just told and that. You get on campus, you feel the excitement of our team, you meet the program, that type of stuff that really sells it for what they're doing. And I think the internationals typically can't come to campus to see that. So you're kind of just listening to the same thing. And
it's that Siena effect.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, you talk about it, but I could just remember years ago when I'd have to talk to the team about maybe the handbook or our end of season stuff. You could feel not only that energy, but they had strong school leaders there that evolved into school leaders. You know, in a small school, that's one of the great things. If you really want to be involved in something, you can do that at a small school. So you're just not a soccer player that does this and that. They're doing all kinds of other things too. And his, I mean, I won't say his, it's coach's culture was so strong. I tried to get my granddaughter, who was not even a great player, but just a great leader. She just graduated Purdue. She never would have played more in JV. I wanted her involved with the culture of these. I really did, because she was she would have enjoyed it, and she was a good, strong leader herself. And I think that's you know, that has carried over into the competitiveness and the success. But when you run a program like that, and boy, you're getting me all wound up here. I'm sorry. It's hard to get kids to wait their turn. You see. And you know, and he has done that very well. In other words, they want to play, and they want to play now. And he's had kids that have waited their turn and fought and fought, and then when they've had their opportunity, they were, you know, they were tough to beat every year. And that's the story of Coach Oliver. You know, I mean, anybody, and gosh, I don't want to go, it's horrible to say, anybody had opportunity to hire him, they'd be nuts not to hire him. He's made a lot of money for Siena Heights. And what I mean by that is by bringing these kids in, right, you know, and all that. But he's also created a great atmosphere. And it's going to be sad, you know, like a lot of our programs. But on the other hand, hell, we're not there yet. And we're going to go after it this year, you know, aren't we?
That's right. Well, we're going to take a timeout, and we're going to come back, as, again, we've got Alyssa Nasso and Sarah DeWeese with us here. So we're going to chat with them, and they can tell maybe some stories about Coach Oliver as well when we get back right here. 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
Sorry, I got wound up.
Back to school, you're investing in your future, and Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan wants to help you. We know you're busy. From raising a family to building a career, you may not have much free time available. From associates to bachelor's to master's degrees, our classes are designed so you can work and manage home life while earning your degree. Let Siena Heights University help you take the next step. Learn more at sienaheights.edu. Again, that's sienaheights.edu. Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan offers online bachelor's and master's programs designed to fit your busy schedule. The online MBA program is available to students with degrees in various disciplines and does not require the GRE or GMAT testing for admissions. Designed to be flexible, convenient, and focused on ethical and sustainable business practices. Learn more at sienaheights.edu. Again, that's sienaheights.edu.
Siena Heights University meets you where you are with its online bachelor and master's programs. Starting fresh? Have some credits? Our online program is designed for flexibility, convenience, and effectiveness. Our 7-week sessions make it easy to get started at any point in the year. And what makes our program truly special is that your work experience could translate to credit. Enroll now and be on your way when classes start in January. Learn more at sienaheights.edu.
Welcome back in Saint Sports Weekly, brought to you by Siena Heights University. Jeff Bowman here with Fred Smith, and again, it's a soccer night tonight, and women's soccer night. And we've got two players with us, Alyssa Nasso and Sarah DeWeese. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
Hi. You're going to have to get closer.
Okay.
You've got a soft voice anyway. So I'm going to start with Alyssa, because she's actually a senior, so she's got more time here. So she's probably got more stories. But no, but I was looking when Coach, you know, when Fred talked about, you know, people waiting their turn. And so, I pulled up your bio and looking at your stats, and you're one of them. I mean, tell us your path a little bit here. First, how did you, from Groseal, how did you end up here at Siena Heights to begin with?
Well, like Scooter said, when you visit here, like, people, like, open the doors for you, say hi to you. And, like, when you go to other schools, no one really, like, acknowledges you're there. So, like, that was one big thing I saw on my tour. I was like, wow, like, I don't even know these people, and they're, like, being friendly to me. But I wanted to go somewhere close, like, so my parents can come to the games. But the main thing I said, I did want to play soccer.
Right.
And it had my major and minor here, so.
And what are you studying?
Exercise science and management.
Okay.
Wow, what a combination.
Yeah.
That is. So, a little bit about your path, I mean, looking at, you had one game in 23-24 and, four the next year. So you haven't seen a ton on the field, but yet coach said you're a captain a couple of years. So,
yeah, I think that I've learned who I am as a player and as like a person. And like even Scooter knows, like we've had a lot of conversations over every year. And like I bring what I have the ways I can. If that makes any sense.
Well, and obviously, as you said too, I mean, you understand your role and how you can benefit the team and how you can impact and make the team better.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's not a ton of minutes, you're doing something every day to make the team better. And I think obviously Scooter sees that to make you a captain. So, and you know, with being, in your degrees and what you're doing, you're learning leadership as well.
Yeah, I think just like from like my freshman to now, like of course I've been here for, this is my fourth year, like you improve in different ways, like as a person and as an individual, and it's just something really cool, like that's soccer related and like school related, and so I think like soccer has been a big part of that journey, you know.
Did you play more than soccer in high school?
I played basketball too.
Okay.
So, what do you think about this year's team, how's the journey going, and as a captain, where are we at with the team attitude and everything?
We, like Scooter said, we had a little bit of like a meeting, and I think things have really come together. Like I have so much faith in this team, and I really think like all of us, at least the people who have been here, like he said, Saints pride is really a big thing. Like the other day at the game, we were screaming so loud that Scooter had to tell us to like quiet down because he can't talk to the field players because we were screaming so loud. Like we That's just awesome. Like, of course, like the freshmen they're not experiencing Saints pride yet, but when they do, they'll like, it's just like a feeling. Like you just have so much passion and energy to like work your hardest for yourself and for the team. Like, but I think that we're going to do really good this year. I have a lot of faith in us. And, like, we've already, like, showed how much progress we have made since the beginning of, like, we're in our this will be the sixth game, and we already feel like we've already improved so much.
Yeah, you guys play a tough schedule. That's one thing you guys don't back down from anybody. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think we have to do to get better to be in the mix?
Well, lately we've been having struggle with, like, our possession. So like we're really good defense. Like once we're like 1v1, we're pretty good, but it's like we have to keep the ball, which is what we've been practicing like a lot lately. Like, and today we did like a drills to keep that possession because Scooter taught us like face the way you play when you have that option. So we're like getting used to our chemistry with everyone and like things like that. Like Scooter did say, we do have a young team, but it's been fun like acclimating everyone.
So with your degree and being a senior, you don't have to, you know, worry about looking at another school, but are you looking to maybe do higher ed from this, get a master's in something, or you got your career path set?
At first I wanted to be a physical therapist, but I decided that I'm not sure if I want to go to school for that much longer. Right. So my plan for now is just to like go back home and like find a job. I had an internship this summer at Pride Athletics and I loved it, and they said they might be hiring. So
what was that?
It's a physical therapy like training place.
Gotcha.
So like they'll do soccer teams, they'll do pretty much everything there. So that was an internship I had this summer that I loved.
Good
so.
For you, that's great.
Well, and I think it sounds like the leader that you are, being captain and that, I think that's something that working with teams and doing that sounds like it's kind of right up your alley to be able to be still part of a group like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like even Scooter texted me over the summer and he was like, before the school was closing, he was like, are you sure you don't want to be a GA? Like, and I was like, oh, like a coach, ? He was like, yeah. And he was like, are you interested? And I was like, honestly, I think I'm a very open person, and I think anything relating to like coaching, helping others, like training people, like that have always interested me. So
and that's a big thing now, not only PT, because now PT, isn't that a 3-year additional commitment?
Usually.
But is we have these, I don't know how to say it, people that develop athletes, and that's a big enterprise now. You know, the kids, parents are hiring people and whatnot to develop their athletes, and I don't know what they call those people, but I know Sean Carlson did some of that when he was out in Arizona, and that's awesome.
Well, and there's so many more training facilities out there compared to, you know, years past, you know, when Fred and I, and even Scott, when you were growing up, I mean, you played the game and you played for what team you were. It's not like you could have off-season training at sites that's all they do. And so it's neat to be able to have that. Did you do some of that, you know, when you were, before you got here in Grosseal, was there a place that you could do that with, or your club team that had stuff?
In high school. Yeah, I played in high school and we had a club. So it was like you got to, of course, do both. But like something that, like nowadays, I feel like back in high school, like most places didn't have athletic trainers. And if they did, they were like just coming for your games. They don't come to practice. And I feel like now, like people have realized like we do need to take care of our bodies.
Yes.
So I think it's like a field that's definitely getting more like bigger because more people are realizing the benefits of them. And even like it's not just athletes, it's people every day like wanting to stay healthy. So
well, yeah, I mean, even like, you know, Ader in high school just a few years ago hired a strength and conditioning coach, and I think it's worked well through all of the different programs. I mean, even if you're not an athlete, they're there to help you with it, but I think it's really improved, you know, on the athletic side, just because learning how to take care of your body, learning how to, you know, and as we were talking about, even doing what you're doing, but how do you recover and then to get better, to be able to stay healthy, that's a big thing now, where it wasn't years ago. You played and played and played and you played hurt and you weren't thinking about all the other stuff.
I don't get off subject, there was something on, somebody sent me on the internet that, again, I'm dating myself, this is late 60s, Denny McClain pitching a game where he threw 229 pitches, right? Now are the Tigers' best pitcher. When he's at 100, he's shut down.
Yep.
So the whole understanding of what our bodies can take load-wise has changed. And there's so much to that. And being with your exercise science background, that's really going to help you. I mean, you could go a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you. And, good luck with everything. And we're going to slide on over to Sarah. An actual Buckeye from the Columbus area, but you're coming in from Grove City, and so how did your path end up being in Ader and at Siena Heights?
Yeah, Scooter found me at the Blue Chip soccer tournament and emailed me, and I've obviously never heard of Siena Heights. I'm from Columbus. I came to a camp. Scooter offered me spot. And I sat on it for a really long time, and then I told him no, actually. Told him I wasn't ready to make a decision, and I wanted to see where else I could maybe go. But he wouldn't take no for an answer, so I came back up, and I saw the school again. And just the way that Scooter persistently was texting me, I had no other coaches that were reaching out to me that much, and obviously, I felt the Saints pride being on the campus for the first time, and I could just really see myself there.
So you were, I mean, soccer was in your, you know, on your radar of coming to school somewhere to play.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, what are you studying?
I am a major in business, a concentration in marketing, and then I have a minor in graphic design.
Okay. Wow, that's a great combo.
So, I know you're obviously not thinking too far ahead, but this is your last year here and you've got a couple more years to play, so is that something, coach going to help you in it, or do you have some other places in mind that you might want to look at?
Yeah, I've been thinking about it a lot, probably too much, but I'd like to get there as soon as possible. you know, work out with the team. It sucks to leave. I don't want to leave, right. But in the circumstances, I think it'd be best for me to leave as soon as possible, but definitely going to need Scooter's help. Haven't really acted on much yet, but we'll get there. It's only early in the season.
Right. So as far as, you know, what you're looking at with the business, you know, marketing, graphic design, where do you think that's going to take you, or what are your thoughts on what your next step is when you do get out of college?
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. I picked a business major because there's so many things you can do with it.
That's
so
right.
I'm just going to see where it takes me. I added this graphic design major last semester just so it gave me a little bit more of where I wanted to go with things. So open to many things.
Yeah. Well, and there's so much with it. I mean, even here, you know, at the radio station, you know, I'm on the sales side besides doing this, but we also, you know, with doing the commercials, we have guys that are, you know, in the news department, and we do have, you know, digital's a big thing even on the radio side. And so there's a lot of graphic design. There's a lot of things, you know, with the marketing side and with the graphic design, there's a lot of different opportunities, I think, that you can take that with.
Yeah, for sure. I think I've been a little bit worried about AI taking over the field, but
which is amazing.
We'll
see. You know, instead of cliff notes on the back of books and stuff like that,
right.
Now you can type anything in. You can find whatever you need out there. But so looking at you, I mean, you play D. I see you've got some goals and stuff, though, too. So how is how is that going for you? Actually, game started, not goals, my bad, looking at that. But what are your thoughts on this season, and what do you bring to this team?
I think that we're going to have a great season. I think we all, like, this is our last chance to prove ourselves as a team. So I think we are really taking that in and trying our hardest. I think that I am kind of a silent leader. I think I'm somebody who leads by example. I'm not the most talkative, so kind of do my job on the field. And
well, it's, you know, teams need people
yeah.
like that as
yeah.
well. And, you know, because it is leading by example. And, you know, we'll talk with Coach again in a minute. And Fred, you can even attest to this too. But, you know, as a coach and seeing players out there that work hard and do the right things, it's easier, especially to tell the other people on the team, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
And it's easier, just watch what they do and figure it out. And so do you feel like that? Have you always been that kind of a player, even in high school and club?
Yeah, I'm not usually the first one to tell somebody when they're doing something wrong. I like there's designated people for that, and I feel like I'm somebody, you know, I'm going to tell you to – that it's okay if you made a mistake. Like, I'm not going to tell you what you need to fix because you have somebody for that. So I'm going to be
that's
the
Alyssa's
other.
That's Alyssa's job, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to be there for support.
Well, you know, I really strongly feel that leadership is being who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different ways to do that. You know, we got a basketball coach in our state who – is one of the giants of the game. That's Tom Izzo. And I disagree with him. Well, me disagree. I love him. Great coach. Even though I'm a Wolf fan, I think he's the greatest. He encourages his players to correct each other and get after each other. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I give you two examples this weekend on football games that were amazing. One was U of M. You saw one of the receivers getting and the freshman quarterback getting after it. The Chiefs game on Friday night after we got done broadcasting, I can't remember his name, 23 and the line, they're getting it late in the game. That's not all bad. That means they care. That doesn't mean they're out of control. That means they care, and with players and not coaching having to make those we're not on the field as much as coach is the man, and you guys are on the field, and your way of doing or whoever's way of doing it doesn't mean it's right or wrong. Coach Izzo does his thing, and he's the greatest. I never like it because it's too chaotic. I didn't want people hollering, but that's maybe not all that bad. One thing I wanted to ask you, did you play other sports down at Grove City?
No, I didn't in high
you
school.
You were a soccer person through and through?
Yeah, I played basketball and softball all the way up until eighth grade.
Were you a club player too?
Yes.
Yeah, obviously you were. And
yes.
Okay. Yeah, and my advice, don't get ahead of yourself either academically, because it'll come.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all, one of the things with college now, we're all so worried about what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I didn't know what I was going to do. And I spent 49 years at this place. I had no idea what I was going to do. And the second thing, don't worry. The other team will happen. You're a good kid. It will happen. And, you know, because coach will help you and all that. And people will want you. And you want to look at a program that's probably very similar to mm-hmm. what you're left, you know. That's just advice. I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
It's all right. It's, you know, Fred's been doing that for a long time. So he's definitely
It's just so pleased to see these young ladies here and how they're so fired up for their team. Right now you guys are 2-3, but we have battle teams. How about the league? What are your thoughts? You guys think, who's going to be your toughest competition in the league?
Definitely Aquinas and Uno again. But it's nothing that we can't do. I feel like we have great depth. We have players who can play many positions, and we're just going up from here. So,
Lizzie, your thoughts on that?
I also agree. I feel like we do have the potential to be every team in our conference, and I think that like us just keep pushing it every day at practice, like. Just by today, this practice today was so much better than our other ones. Like, us bringing it all the time is going to help us hopefully win the conference.
So, as a senior, who is your team that you really want to beat?
Lawrence Tech. We always have a battle between them. They're a very aggressive team, so we never know what's going to happen with them, but... Lawrence Tech is mine.
Sarah, for you, I mean, just being here a couple years, what's that team that you really want to get after?
I want to be Uno. I feel like they're so different. They play so different than us. But, like, I think that we can do it.
There you go. All right. Well, Alyssa, Sarah, we appreciate your time. And, good luck the rest of this year. And whatever happens next for both of you, good luck whatever you're doing.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a time out and come back and talk with Coach Scooter Oliver a little bit more about this program and the history. And we'll be back with more right after this here on 96.5 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
Move your career forward. By going back to school, you're investing in your future. And Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan wants to help you. We know you're busy. From raising a family to building a career, you may not have much free time available. From associates to bachelor's to master's degrees, our classes are designed so you can work and manage home life while earning your degree. Let Siena Heights University help you take the next step. Learn more at sienaheights.edu. Again, that's sienaheights.edu.
Siena Heights University meets you where you are with its online bachelor and master's programs. Starting fresh, have some credits. Our online program is designed for flexibility, convenience, and effectiveness. Our 7-week sessions make it easy to get started at any point in the year. And what makes our program truly special is that your work experience could translate to credit. Enroll now and be on your way when classes start in January. Learn more at sienaheights.edu.
Siena Heights University in Adrian, Michigan offers online bachelor's and master's programs designed to fit your busy schedule. The online MBA program is available to students with degrees in various disciplines and does not require the GRE or GMAT testing for admissions. Designed to be flexible, convenient, and focused on ethical and sustainable business practices. Learn more at sienaheights.edu. Again, that's sienaheights.edu.
Welcome back to Saint Sports Weekly. Jeff Bowman, Fred Smith, in women's soccer here tonight. And talked to a couple of great young ladies. And then we're going to go back to the coaching side and talk with Coach Oliver. And Scooter, again, 25 years here. You know, 301 now in wins. But talk a little bit about your staff, too, and how much they mean to this program.
Are you trying to make me cry on air, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm like that old Jim Rome where they made you cry.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, through the whole thing, like John McKeon's been with me for 15 years. I think he coached with me, and that's probably been my longest. But I've had so many grad assistants that have been so terrific that still email me and text me. And Matt Saul, who's out in Colorado, just sent me stuff on Instagram the other day and still coaching in that. So, but currently, Samantha Bartolotti Sobel is with us. She was an All-American a couple times, actually. So she's going in the Hall of Fame. She's with us. Caitlin Harwood, who was on our 2023 championship team, she's our goalkeeper coach. And then Emily Broman, who played for us for 5 years because she was a COVID kid, is our grad assistant. And yeah, we have a diverse coach. It's kind of funny because Emily is actually well beyond her years right now, and I don't think she realizes it, but I don't know if the players do either. But for a first year GA in the first month of her work, the stuff that she's doing and saying has been really a blessing, because the way I look at it is Sam's kind of handling the goalkeepers. Alexis is on staff too, so she was a forward. So sorry, Sam's handling the forwards and Alexis will help with there, and then Caitlin will handle the goalies when she's there, but then who gets the midfielders and the defenders? So usually that's on me, which is what I played. Well, Emily was in those same spots, so she's kind of like moved me out. And then all the assistants got the field players, so they've got 24 girls, and Scooter's there with two goalies because Caitlin was at work. So I'm back down to full circle is when I started with Coach Zed. I was a goalkeeper coach. And then I kind of kept that up through the years as the GAs were there. So if I left the game right now, the girls would be fine. They'd probably be better because they didn't have to deal with all my antics and stuff. But, we have a great coaching staff. They know people. They care. They know soccer. And it's been a great group because this is one of the only other years, like recently, that we've really talked tactics, on what we need to do and specifically, you know, the little pieces that we have to change to try to make better that this staff's been really good at. They've always been great with the people and the girls and having that connection and that type of stuff. So that's no different there. But
right. Now, Emily, she was with us at the coach's preview. Yep. And, you know, one of the questions I had for her was going from that role of just being a player with these girls to all of a sudden now elevating up to the coaching level and how, you know, they listen to her differently and how she has to treat and, you know, and she did say, I mean, it's come pretty naturally to her.
Yeah, and I, you know, that's why Alyssa, like you mentioned, she hasn't played in a lot of games, but she has so much respect because of the work she's put in, how she handles herself day to day. People see that and they want to follow that. And that's the same thing with Emily. Like the players that saw her play and played with her realize, like, man, that kid's got a heart and will not quit on anything. And that's kind of what's won them over. So now when she says stuff, you know, they're kind of following. And Sarah's on the other side. Sarah's so quiet. They all know the work and how hard she plays. So when she actually does say something,
they listen.
It's like that light from the heavens of, you know, oh, we should probably do this. And so you kind of have both. Like Fred said, you have to be the leader that you are. And I think our girls are. And Emily just has so much credit with the kids that I think that she had played with. And she's been good as a coach. She's done all the little things that I don't necessarily, or I'm not good at, you know, the social media stuff and, you know, talking to the girls behind the scenes and stuff like that. And it's really been a great deal. She's done a great job. And like I said, she's only been, you know, a coach for a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we started August 9th, I think. So
now you talk about tactics and doing things different. We talked with Coach Cohn the other night at the previous show. And one of the things he talked about was having actually smaller numbers and being able to coach a little bit differently because of who's there. And, you know, some of them have a little bit more experience as far as being around the program and knowing what's going on. Do you feel a little bit of that? Because you don't have a lot of people to say, okay, I got to bring you up to speed when I can do other things, where you have a smaller roster that's here and that you can kind of bring together a little bit differently.
Yeah. I think I try to handle it a little bit different. What I've realized over the last probably 10 or 15 years is the male loud guy that I am, that I have that pride, kind of shuts a lot of females down. So when I plan tactics and things like that, it has to be unintentional to them. So like they're talking about, like, I can explain the games and explain why we're doing it, but if I were to sit down and physically said, you have to do this or you have to do that, they take it, even in a nice way, they take it so interpersonal. And so then so I think that's what's helping us right now, is I have less to weed through to kind of get more to the heart of exactly what we've got to do. Before, when I was worried about developing 48 players, it's kind of not. Like, I'm trying to really develop 24 players or just the group as a whole. So then you can kind of, you know, you lose some of the weight off. I also don't have to worry about reps. Now we can actually do a little bit more of our drills. They can go a little bit longer or shorter because they've got the reps that they need based on our, you know, workloads that we're trying to manage, right, and that type of stuff. So that's really what's helped, is I've been able to get to the point way faster than I think I ever could before with more players. But,
and I think that's a good way to look at it too. I mean, is to take that and say, okay, here, well, you know, this group is here and they're ready to go. And again, not having to try to get as many people. And I guess, you know, especially looking at the practice side with the rep side, and it's like, yeah, you can either do longer because you're not doing it as well. We need to work on these things, or, hey, yep, you've got this down. Now let's move on to something else.
And, you know, we're finding, and this is what we're working through right now, is we used to be able to go so hard, so fast in these drills, right? Like some of our games, 2v2 plus ones and 3v2v3, like just really they're physical, like Fred said, like we just play harder than everybody. We used to be able to do that because we had so much numbers. So they could play for 30 seconds and they're going to get like 2 minutes off. So they're fully recovered, mm-hmm, fully recharged. Now we do it, they play for 30 seconds, get a minute off. So like the level has kind of come down. And like that, I think we're working our way through as a coaching staff of trying to figure out that mix of time on, time off, you know, repetition. I've always tried to equate it to the game. You know, like I've studied, that's the science in me, like how long is the ball in play? How long is it out of play? So your work to rest ratio, you know, that type of stuff, and then look at duration of minutes played and that type of stuff too. But,
well, the one thing, Coach, is that you guys have always tried to play a good non-conference, because the way you could be 0 and whatever and still win the league and go to the Nationals, right?
Yep.
And yeah, you want to win these matches for sure. But, you know, now after, you know, you've played thus far, I guess there was an epiphany or something that happened last week that was a good thing for the team. But where is it, do you think, that we have to – where do we have to get better at?
You know, I've actually thought quite a bit about this recently. I did schedule, I would, a little bit stronger than I have in the past. Mm-hmm. We've graduated 7 starters from last year's team. Mm-hmm. So even before we shut down, I knew we were going to go into it. But I knew what we had. So I knew the chance that if we could actually play and win those games early, our at-large to Nationals
would be
better. Yeah. In years past, I was kind of wavering on, like, how great were we going to be type of thing. So we went a little bit less competitive in the beginning, and we ran up the records, and then we kind of just lose steam at the end. So I tried to flip it a little bit, go a little bit harder. Now we're kind of going into a little bit less of a schedule than what we have for the next week and a half than what we played, so to speak. But my thing is, I think we actually just have to get out of our way. You know, we're talking about possessing the ball a little bit more and things like that. It seems like the girls are just too locked up on playing and trying to be perfect instead of just playing the game. You know, we have to, and I think they're so ramped up. They're so trying to just drive forward. They're just trying to ram the ball down all the time. And that's forced us to turn the ball over a little bit too much and then have to defend more. So I feel like if and they all know possession, like we recruit them, like know what to do. They've in soccer programs, that type of stuff. So we're just trying to get them to focus a little bit more on that and then tweak that. You know, you've got a winning team when your wife comes to you and says, man, they're scrappy. Like, you guys do not back down. Like, we know we're going to compete. And I feel like in years past, it was like, are we going to be able to defend? I think we're going to be able to score. Like, we're going to have those attackers. We're going to get our opportunities. And this year, it's now proving, like, we know we're going to defend. Like, we're going to play. So then it's just a matter of, like, will we be able to, you know, possess the ball enough to create more offensive opportunities for us? We will score. I don't know. We have the talent to do that. So it's just going to be a matter of, you know, kind of taking that next steps of as the offense develops. And, you know, like I said, I think they really just have to unlock and relax and stop worrying so much about being perfect or playing this way or playing that way and use their options that are there and that type of stuff.
Well, I know at the coaches' preview, they were excited about that Tennessee trip. And I mean, I know you split with that, but I think that was good. Was that a nice team bonding? And were you able to get the girls together and experience a little bit different going down to Tennessee?
Well, I guess that's them. What's funny is we're always trying to save money. So we stayed at our Residence Inn, which has kitchenettes. Mm-hmm. So the coaching staff, when they were off, we were busy making dinner. So back to my concession days, but you know, I'm trying to think about what I do next, and I'm like, man, I should be really good in food service. But I love that trip. It's going to be one of the stuff I miss the most, the trips with the teams. I also don't like playing at home. I like to play on the road. I don't know. I get such a kick of being on the bus after or eating at the restaurant, going into the foreign place and, you know, not really having that many people that know you or have, you know. So Tennessee for me was great. We did some line dancing. I did not, but they did, and they looked like they really had fun. And the girls can talk about that. But I did go country boot shopping. So when you're a male coach with females, you've got to be willing to go shopping.
Yes, exactly.
A little bit. But, that, you know, that's fun. And, you know, Nashville's alive, man. So it's always exciting. But
yeah. Well, we just got another probably minute and a half left. So you can, girls, talk a little bit about that trip and, you know, being in Nashville and being able to have that one kind of last fun road trip together.
The bus ride actually went by really fast, and we all watched a TV show together, honestly. So that was funny. Scooter got obsessed with that, actually. And then, like, being there, it was, like, perfect. You had your time, like, to sleep when you needed to sleep, but when it was time to go, it was time to, like, do fun things. Like, the one whole day on Saturday, we didn't have a game, so we got to, like, go to Starbucks if you wanted to. Like, people went on runs that day. Like, you had time to yourself to do what you wanted, and then we had lunch and dinner together, like... And like Scooter said, he made food. So, like, we were in his apartment and the coach's apartment for probably, like, 4 hours the one day. Like, I thought it was really fun.
Yeah, we also get really vulnerable with each other on those trips. So, like, tell each other things that we've never heard each other say before. So, I think it builds a sense of trust within the team. Right. And especially with the team being smaller this year, like, it really brings us together.
Well, again, ladies, I appreciate your time and coach as well. You know, good luck with everything you're doing. And, you know, go after it when you get to this WAC conference games.
Week and a half.
All right. Once again, Saint Sports Weekly here tonight. Jeff Bowman, Fred Smith, along with the at 301 and counting, Coach Scott Oliver. And, again, thank you to Alyssa Naso and Sarah DeWeese as well. And we're going to turn this over in a second. As AC All Access to be coming on. But once again, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Jeff Bowman, Fred Smith, right here, 965 The Cave, 965thecave.com.